The rain had stopped, but the cold had not. Stormvale Keep rose from the northern hills like a dark crown pressed into low cloud. Its towers were pale stone, its windows burned silver in the early morning light, and the wolf banners along its walls shifted in the wind. Long, heavy things stitched in gray and silver, each bearing the mark of a beast mid-howl. It was not a welcoming place. It was a powerful one. Inside, the receiving hall was already occupied. Four women, in silk and velvet, sat near the great fireplace, their posture arranged, their expressions composed, their gowns so carefully chosen that not one thread was out of place. They had arrived early. They had meant to arrive early. In a hall like this, the first woman noticed was often the one remembered. Valoria Frostmere sat at the center of the group, as she always did, because she had long since made it clear that the center was hers by right. Her hair was red gold and pinned like something sculpted rather than grown. Her gown was pale silver silk that caught the firelight and threw it back in cold, beautiful lines. She had worn it on purpose. She had worn everything on purpose. Beside her sat Coruscel Ravenmere and Navira Blackveil, both of them lovely in the way that women became lovely when they spent their lives being arranged rather than living, elegant, polished, and watching everything with careful, half-lidded eyes. On Valoria's other side sat Silvera Winterthorn, quieter than the rest, though her silence was not kindness. It was observation. The hall smelled of beeswax candles and old stone. Somewhere far above, a raven called once and went silent. The fire snapped and held its breath. Then the great doors at the far end of the hall opened, and a woman walked in. She was not what any of them expected. Her name was Avenora Hollowmere. She was 23 years old, and she had walked the last 4 miles to Stormvale Keep alone, after the cart carrying her from Hollowmere Village had broken a wheel in the mud near the lower road. Her shoes were wet. The hem of her gown, a faded grey-blue wool that had once been her mother's, then her cousin's, and now hers, was marked with mud from the forest path. Her dark hair had loosened from its pins in the rain. She carried one small leather satchel and a folded letter tucked against her ribs. She had not eaten since the previous afternoon. She stepped inside and stopped near the far wall, away from the fire, away from the noblewomen, because she understood, without being told, that this was a room where belonging was written in wool and silk and the width of a chair, and she had not been assigned one yet. Her chin was level, her hands were folded, her expression was still. If you had only glanced at her, you might have thought she was calm. She was not calm. She was simply very, very practiced at looking like she was. Valoria noticed her first. Her eyes moved across the room the way a hawk's eyes moved across an open field, not out of curiosity, but out of the habit of cataloguing threats. She took in the faded dress, the damp shoes, the loosened hair, the absence of jewelry, the satchel that was too small to contain anything valuable, and she made her assessment in under 3 seconds. She leaned slightly toward Coruscel and said, in a voice pitched to carry just far enough, "Stormvale Keep must be desperate if it is allowing girls in washed-out gowns through the front doors." Coruscel smiled. "Perhaps she is here to scrub the floors and has simply misread the entrance." Nayavira pressed her fingers to her lips and laughed softly, which was the kind of laughter designed to sound like music and land like a stone. Avenora heard every word. She did not answer. Instead, she found the carved wolf emblems above the fireplace, 7 of them, worked in silver into the stone lintel, and she counted them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. She counted them again. It was a habit she had built over years of situations like this one, where answering would only give ammunition, and silence was the one thing cruel people could not use against her. The counting slowed her pulse. It kept her in her body. It kept her face from doing anything she would regret. 7. She pressed her thumb gently into the bone of her wrist and breathed. A door at the side of the hall opened. The steward, a tall man with a narrow face and a small brown book, stepped inside. He was Maelor Ironshade, and he ran Lady Ismeria Stormvale's household with the precise, unhurried efficiency of someone who had been doing it long enough not to be surprised by much. He looked at the room. He looked at Avanora. "You are here for the companion position?" he asked, his voice carrying no judgment, only the flat practicality of a man with a list to get through. "Yes," Avanora said. Her voice was quiet. It was steady. "Lady Ismeria is not receiving yet. You will wait." "Of course," she said. She returned to her place by the wall. It was then that the garden archway at the side of the hall opened. No one announced him. There was no ceremony, no herald, no sweep of sound that should have marked the entrance of the most powerful wolf in the Northern Kingdom. There was only the soft sound of boots on stone, and then a man standing in the archway, wearing a dark cloak with rain still on the shoulders of it, and mud dried along the edges of his boots, and the quiet, settled stillness of someone who had been outside in the cold and was not troubled by it. He was not dressed like a king. He looked like a warrior who had returned from the eastern boundary before sunrise and walked through the wrong door, which, as it happened, was precisely what he had done. But the room changed the moment he entered it. The noblewomen felt it before they saw it. Some shift in the air, some weight that had not been there a breath before. Valoria straightened. Coruscel's hands stilled. Navira's laughter ended mid-breath. Silvira turned her head. They knew. Not from his clothing. His clothing gave nothing away. They knew from the way the servants near the hall doorway dropped their eyes. They knew from the way the fire seemed to pull its light toward him, rather than away. They knew from whatever instinct ran deeper than sight in their blood. The old wolf knowledge that recognized a dominant presence the way iron recognized a lodestone. This was Alvaric Stormvale, Alpha King of the Northern Pax, Lord of Stormvale Keep and all the territories beyond its walls, ruler of 12 pack villages and the ancient forest roads between them. He was 31 years old. He had been Alpha King for 6 years, since the loss of his father and his older brother in the same gray winter. He had been carrying that weight without complaint since he was 25, and it had settled into him the way cold settled into old stone, not visible on the surface, but present in every layer beneath. Valoria's smile arranged itself into something careful and soft. She turned just slightly toward him, the way a flower turned toward light, though in her case, the light she was turning toward was neither warmth nor beauty. It was strategy. He did not look at her. He looked at the woman in the faded dress standing near the far wall. Avanora felt the weight of it before she understood what it was, a gaze with enough presence that it landed on the skin. She turned her head, because not turning would have felt like flinching, and she had stopped flinching at things years ago. Their eyes met. His were dark, the deep brown gray of riverstone in winter, and they were looking at her without pity, without amusement, without the brief cataloguing dismissal she had already received from 4 other people in this room. He was simply looking, steadily, as if there was something worth the looking, even in a faded dress, even in wet shoes, even in loosened hair and the particular kind of stillness that belonged to someone who had survived things they did not talk about. Avanora looked back, because she had nothing to hide, and nowhere to lower her gaze to. She held it for 3 full seconds, and then he turned and walked through the far door, and the room exhaled. Valoria watched the doorway where he had been, and then turned her eyes to Avanora. Her expression was no longer merely contemptuous. It was something sharper now, something that had taken a careful look at the girl by the wall, and decided she was the wrong kind of problem. "One can hardly tell royal guards from common patrolmen these days," Valoria said pleasantly. "The rain does something unfortunate to dark cloaks." She paused, then looked directly at Avanora. "Although I suppose some of us are accustomed to wearing whatever we can find." The others laughed. Avanora pressed her thumb to her wrist. 7 wolf emblems above the fire. 7, she stayed. Maelor returned 20 minutes later and led her to a small office behind the hall, where he asked her 7 questions, reviewed the letter from the dead healer, a woman named Thessara who had once served in this very keep, and had written a page of careful, faded handwriting about Avanora's patience and her skill with the elderly, and her quiet that was not emptiness but depth, and then told Avenora that she had been accepted into Lady Ismeria's service. As Avenora rose to follow the housekeeper upstairs, Melor said, in the same flat, practical tone he used for everything, "The man who entered the hall through the garden archway earlier, you may have thought him a guardsman." Avenora turned. "He was not," Melor said. "That was his grace, Alpha King Alvaric Stormveil." She stood very still for a moment. The rain on the dark cloak, the mud on the boots, the gaze that landed like something real. The most powerful alpha in the Northern Kingdom had already looked at her. She had arrived believing no one had seen her at all. She had been wrong. Melor Ironshade kept his office the way he kept everything. Spare, organized, and without sentiment. A narrow desk, a window that looked into the courtyard, a shelf of ledgers. He sat across from Avenora and asked her his 7 questions in the same tone he might use to review a supply list, and she answered each one without embellishment, because embellishment was for people who could afford to waste a listener's patience, and she could not. Where was she from? Holomir Village, the eastern edge of the lower valley. What was her connection to the late Thessara? Her father, Edric Holomir, had studied alongside Thessara in a healer's school in the city years ago. They had kept correspondence until Thessara's passing. Thessara had written the letter 3 months before she died, in case Avenora ever needed it. What was her current living situation? She had been staying with distant kin since her father's death 18 months ago. The arrangement was not a comfortable one. Had she cared for the elderly before? Yes. Her father had been ill for 2 years before he died. She had managed his care alone. Could she remain calm when Lady Ismeria became confused or distressed? She could. She had learned that confusion required patience rather than correction. Was she prepared for a household that was formal and, at times, demanding? She was. Did she have any other employment prospects should the position not suit? She did not. Melor closed his small book and studied her for a moment, with the expression of a man who had interviewed a great many people and learned to read the gap between what they said and what they were. Then he said yes, and told her she would be paid quarterly, and led her out. The housekeeper, Elindra Thornvale, was a broad-shouldered woman with iron-gray hair and quick eyes and the particular warmth of someone who had spent decades caring for other people without being thanked for it. She appeared in the hallway outside Melor's office and looked Avenora over once, taking in the wet dress, the damp shoes, the composure that was clearly costing something. "Come," Elindra said. No softness, no edge. Just the word, and then movement. She led Avenora up 2 flights of back stairs and through a corridor that smelled of lavender and old wood to a small room at the end of a quiet hall. The room was plain, a narrow bed with a gray wool blanket, a wooden chest, a chipped basin, and a clay pitcher of water, a candle in an iron holder, and 1 window that looked down into the herb garden, which was winter gray now, but had clearly once been lush. "Your room," Elindra said. "Leave your wet things on the chair. I will send the laundry girl." She left and returned within 10 minutes, carrying a tray. Soup, dense and warm, made of something root-based and salted just enough. A small loaf of dark bread. A clay mug of weak, slightly bitter tea. She set it on the chest and said, without looking at Avenora, "Eat all of it. You look like mist given bones." Then she left. Avenora sat on the edge of the bed and ate slowly, because if she ate quickly, she would taste nothing, and she was very hungry, and also because she did not want to cry, and eating slowly occupied her hands and her mouth, and left less room for the feeling that was sitting behind her sternum, like a stone that had been there a long time and had grown heavy. She did not cry. She ate the soup. She ate the bread. She drank the tea. She sat for a while with the empty tray in her lap and listened to the sounds of a large house settling around her. Distant footsteps, the creak of a door, rain beginning again on the roof above, and she felt, for the first time in 18 months, that she was somewhere that might be safe. She did not fully trust the feeling. She had been somewhere that seemed safe before, with her distant kin in Holomir, and it had turned out to be a different kind of hard. But she was too tired to be suspicious tonight. She was only tired. She folded her wet dress carefully over the chair. She unpinned what remained of her hair. She lay down on the narrow bed in the clothes she had traveled in, the gray wool blanket pulled to her chin, and she looked at the ceiling and thought about the man in the garden archway. She thought about his eyes, not because they were striking, though they were, but because of what had been in them. She had spent years being looked at in ways that diminished, and in the 3 seconds when his gaze had found hers, there had been none of that. No assessment of her worth by her clothing. No polite dismissal. No pity disguised as interest. He had looked at her the way someone looked at something worth understanding. She did not know what to do with that. She had no practice receiving that kind of attention from anyone, least of all from someone powerful. It unsettled her in a way that was not entirely unpleasant, and that she did not entirely trust. She turned on her side and told herself firmly to sleep. She was nearly asleep when she heard it. Faint, far below, bleeding up through the stone floors of the keep. Music, a piano, played slowly, haltingly, as if the player was remembering a melody rather than performing one. The notes came in broken phrases, each one slightly uncertain, as if the person at the keys was not so much playing as thinking aloud. She did not know who it was. She did not know that the piano was in a sitting room on the floor below hers, a room that had been his mother's and was never used in daylight. She did not know that Alveric Stormveil sat alone in that room 3 or 4 nights a week, after the keep grew quiet, and played badly and without shame because there was no one there to hear him. She only heard the music, slow and solitary and quietly aching. She was asleep before the last phrase ended. Elsewhere in the keep, in his private study, with the fire burning low and his reading left untouched on the desk, Alveric Stormveil stood at the window and looked out at the rain over the courtyard below. He was not thinking about the council meeting tomorrow. He was not thinking about the grain stores or the eastern border dispute or the letter from the Grimwood elder that required a diplomatic answer he had not yet written. He was thinking about a woman in a faded dress who had counted the wolf emblems above the fire to keep herself steady. He had noticed. He noticed everything. Always had. It was the particular blessing and burden of the alpha instinct, the deep reading of a room that had kept his line alive through 2 centuries of shifting power. He noticed the wet shoes and what they said about how far she had walked. He noticed the folded hands and the thumb pressing against the wrist, not in pain, but as a tether, something to hold to. He noticed the loosened hair and how she did not touch it to fix it, because fixing it would have been an admission that the state of it mattered and she had decided to give nothing more away. He noticed that she did not look away from him. Most people looked away. Not from fear, exactly, but from the particular social instinct that said powerful men were to be glanced at sideways and never directly, like a fire, acknowledged in the peripheral vision, but never stared into. Valoria looked at him like a calculation. The servants looked at his boots. Members of his council looked at the space just above his left shoulder. The woman in the faded dress had looked at him plainly, with nothing performative in it, nothing seeking. Just one person meeting another's eyes because that was the honest thing to do. He had left the hall because remaining would have meant staring, and he had not yet decided what to do with the fact that a stranger he had known for 30 seconds had walked into his receiving hall and unsettled something in him that he had thought he had safely bolted down. He asked Maelor about her before sunrise. Maelor told him, Avanora Hollowmere, from the Eastern Valley, hired that morning to serve as companion to Lady Ismeria, daughter of a healer scholar, no living parents, no money, one letter and a leather satchel, and more quiet than she probably deserved. Alveric said nothing. Later, in the deep quiet of the sitting room below, he sat at his mother's old piano and played broken music into the dark, and if his thoughts kept returning to dark hair and steady eyes and a faded dress that had seen more miles than it was ever meant to, he kept that entirely to himself. Lady Ismeria Stormveil was 81 years old, and had lived in Stormveil Keep for 53 of those years. She had been beautiful once, and traces of it still lived in the architecture of her face, the high bones, the long jaw, the way her chin tilted up when she was paying attention. Her white hair was fine as spun silk, and pinned beneath lace every morning by her maid, Aurelise, a quiet young woman who had learned to do everything without being asked twice. Lady Ismeria's mind worked like a tide. Some mornings it was sharp and full, and she could name every person in the room and recall precisely what they had said at dinner 3 days prior. Other mornings it was low, and the seafloor of her past showed through. Old names, old rooms, old conversations that she lived again, as if they were happening now. She moved between these states without warning and without distress, which was itself a kind of grace, though the people around her found it harder to accept than she did. Four companions had been hired in the past 3 years. All four had left. The first because the loneliness of it had been too heavy. The second because Lady Ismeria had, in a confused moment, accused her of stealing a brooch that was later found in a teacup. The third, because Valoria Frostmere had made her service so uncomfortable that she had packed her things one Tuesday afternoon and not returned. The fourth had simply not been right. Too bright, too quick, too fond of filling silence with chatter when Lady Ismeria needed the silence to remain. Avanora followed Alindra Thornvale up the east staircase the next morning, and into a sitting room full of pale winter light and the smell of wool and dried lavender and something faintly sweet, like honey left too long in a warm jar. Lady Ismeria sat near the window in a wide chair with a grey shawl pulled around her shoulders. Her hands rested in her lap. Her eyes, which were the washed-out blue of a winter afternoon sky, were looking at something beyond the window that no one else could see. Alindra said, "My lady, your new companion is here. Her name is Avanora." Lady Ismeria turned from the window. She looked at Avanora for a long moment, with those pale, distant eyes, and Avanora met her gaze without flinching and without performing warmth she did not yet have reason to feel. "You are not Selvaria," Lady Ismeria said. "No, my lady," Avanora said. "I am Avanora. But if Selvaria used to bring tea, I can bring it." Lady Ismeria looked at her a moment longer. "Three drops of honey," she said. "Not four. Selvaria always put in four, and that is too sweet." "Three drops," Avanora agreed. "I will remember." Alindra left. Avanora made the tea. She had already located the kettle and the honey jar and the good cups with the silver rims on her tour of the room, and brought it carefully to Lady Ismeria, and sat in the lower chair beside her, and waited while the old woman drank. After a while, Lady Ismeria said, "Did the rain follow you inside?" "Only a little," Avanora said. Lady Ismeria made a sound that might have been a laugh. She looked out the window again, and the distance crept back into her eyes, and Avanora let her go there without calling her back, because some places could only be left when they were ready to release you, and it was not her job to pull Lady Ismeria out of her past. It was her job to be present enough that returning to the current room felt safe. She picked up the mending she had found in the basket on the side table. Fine wool, someone's shawl that had unraveled at one edge, and worked quietly. The fire was low, but the room was not cold. Outside, the keep went about its business, and neither woman spoke for nearly half an hour. Then Lady Ismeria said, without turning from the window, "You are not as loud as the last ones." "No, my lady." "Good." A pause. "Read to me. The blue book on the second shelf." Avanora found it, a collection of old verses, the pages soft with handling, and she read slowly, without performance, pitching her voice to the register that felt like the room, rather than the one that filled it. Lady Ismeria closed her eyes and listened with the expression of someone receiving something they had been waiting for. By noon, word had reached Alindra that Lady Ismeria had eaten her morning porridge without complaint. By mid-afternoon, it reached Maelor that Lady Ismeria had walked the length of the gallery twice with her new companion and had not become distressed once. By early evening, Maelor mentioned it in passing to Alveric, as he was known to mention things in passing when he felt Alveric should know them without being formally informed of them. Alveric said nothing. He was reading. or he appeared to be reading. That night, after dinner, after the keep had settled into its own deep quiet, Avonora sat in her small room near the herb garden window and listened to the sounds below. She was mending her own dress, the grey-blue one, which had a seam separating at the left shoulder, and thinking about nothing in particular when she heard footsteps in the hall outside her door. They stopped. Then they moved on. She did not think anything of it. She did not know that Alvaric had walked the east corridor to visit his aunt's room, which was his habit 3 or 4 nights a week, and had paused outside the door nearest Ismeria's because a thin line of candlelight had shone beneath it, and he had felt, inexplicably, that something on the other side of that door was worth the pausing. He had walked on. He had told himself this was sensible. He did not fully believe himself. In her room, Avonora bit off a thread and held the mended seam up to the candle to check her work. Neat. Invisible, almost. The best mending was the kind that looked like it had never been needed. She set the dress down and pressed her thumb to her wrist for no reason at all except old habit, and then she removed her thumb and looked at her own hand in the candlelight, and thought that perhaps, in a place like this, the old habits might slowly become unnecessary. She did not count anything before she slept. That was new. 3 days after Avonora's arrival, Valoria Frostmere returned to Stormvale Keep. She came with Coracel Ravenmere and Navira Blackvale, and a stated purpose of paying respects to Lady Ismeria, which was a courteous fiction, the truth being that Valoria had heard, through channels she kept carefully maintained, that someone had been hired to sit at Lady Ismeria's side, and she wanted to see who. She brought pale winter roses in a silver-handled basket. She wore cream brocade. She smiled at Maelor with the practiced warmth of a woman who understood that stewards had ears attached to lords. Maelor showed them to Lady Ismeria's sitting room. Lady Ismeria was in the window chair when they arrived, with Avonora reading in the lower seat beside her. At the sound of the door, Lady Ismeria looked up. Avonora set the book aside and rose. Valoria swept into the room with her roses, and her smile and her voice arranged into something warm. "My Lady Ismeria," she said. "It is Valoria Frostmere. We have met many times. I hope you are well." Lady Ismeria studied her with the careful blankness of someone searching a list and finding a name missing. "Yes," she said finally, in the tone of someone who does not remember, but has decided agreeing is easier. "You are very tall." Valoria blinked. "Yes, thank you." She set the roses on the table near the window. They were lovely. Lady Ismeria did not look at them. Valoria turned her attention to Avonora, who had moved to stand near the fire, slightly out of the center of the room, the way servants move to make space. "You are the new companion," Valoria said. Her tone was pleasant. It had the same quality as a knife that had been polished until it looked like ornament. "I am," Avonora said. "Hollowmere, was it? I thought I recognized the dress from somewhere." She paused just long enough. "Or perhaps not. One sees that shade at market stalls." Coracel laughed softly. Naivira pressed her fingers to her lips. Avonora said nothing. "How long have you been here?" Valoria continued. 3 days, Avonora said. "How quickly some people make themselves comfortable in houses that do not belong to them," Valoria said, still pleasant. She looked around the room appreciatively. Lady Ismeria must be very tolerant. Lady Ismeria, who had drifted slightly during this exchange, suddenly returned to herself with the sharp clarity she sometimes managed when a room was misusing its air. "The girl reads well," Lady Ismeria said, addressing no one in particular. The last one gabbled. Valoria smiled tightly. "Of course, my lady. The one before that smelled of dried lavender to excess. A person should not smell louder than they speak." "Quite right, my lady. And the one with the brooch. She was nice enough, but she held her chin too high." Lady Ismeria looked at Avonora. "This one holds hers level. That is correct. Neither too high nor too low." Avonora kept her chin exactly where it was. Valoria looked at her. It was a different look now. Not contemptuous exactly, but careful. The look of someone recalculating.
"Lady Ismeria,"
Valoria said, turning back with a refreshed smile. It is nearly time for your afternoon walk. Shall we accompany you? Lady Ismeria looked toward Avenora. Avenora said, gently, Lady Ismeria walks in the gallery at this hour. It is good for her. Then we shall join you, Valoria said smoothly. The gallery is quiet in the afternoons, Avenora said. Lady Ismeria prefers it quiet. Valoria's smile held. I am sure she does not mind the company of old family friends. Lady Ismeria stood from her chair, with the careful deliberateness of age, and took Avenora's arm. She looked at Valoria, and said, plainly, I find the red-haired girl unsettling. Silence landed in the room, like something dropped. Coricel and Navira said nothing. Valoria's smile did not waver, but the color in her neck changed. Avenora guided Lady Ismeria toward the door. As they moved through it, Navira said, in a voice meant to carry, Some women must attach themselves to old ladies, because there is no other position available to them. Avenora closed the door. In the gallery, Lady Ismeria walked slowly and with concentration, her hand light on Avenora's arm. The gallery was long and cool, and lined with portraits of the Stormvale line, going back 7 generations. The wolves watched from their frames, some proud, some weary, some caught in the middle of expressions that portraits couldn't quite hold. After a while, Lady Ismeria said, without looking up from the floor, Beauty is what kindness does to a face. That girl has learned to arrange herself, but she does not know how to be kind. Avenora was quiet for a moment. She is very beautiful regardless. Yes, Lady Ismeria said. So is Ice. They walked on. What neither of them knew was that the door at the far end of the gallery was ajar, and that a maid named Aurelise had been replacing candles in the sconces along the east wall, and had heard most of what passed in Lady Ismeria's sitting room, and had mentioned it to Alindra Thornvale that evening, while carrying a tray of wood to the upper floors. Alindra mentioned it to Maelor. Maelor mentioned it to Alvaric. Alvaric, who was at his desk reviewing boundary reports, and had been doing so for 3 hours, and had not made as much progress as he should have, set his pen down. He was quiet for a long time. Then he asked Maelor to bring him the Frostmere correspondence file. He sat with it open in front of him for 10 minutes without reading it. Then he dipped his pen and wrote a letter to the head of House Frostmere. Brief, formal, without warmth. Informing them that the private match being discussed between his household and House Frostmere was no longer under consideration, and that Lady Valoria Frostmere was not to enter Lady Ismeria's private rooms again without explicit invitation from Lady Ismeria herself. He sealed it with his personal mark. He sent it before sunrise. It occurred to him, as he was finally going to bed, that he had not done any of this consciously planning to protect the woman in the faded dress. He had done it because it was the right and obvious thing to do. But he also knew, with the clarity that came in dark rooms when pretending was too much effort, that the two things were the same. He had wanted her to be safe under his roof. He had done it. He slept, for the first time in weeks, without difficulty. Avenora was reading aloud in Lady Ismeria's sitting room on a morning that had gone golden and mild when the door opened and Alvaric Stormvale walked in. She had been here 9 days. She had not seen him since the receiving hall. He was dressed plainly again, dark trousers, a grey wool coat that had seen enough use to have softened, no ceremony. And he looked different than she had expected now that she knew who he was. Not smaller, exactly, but less inevitable, more present. He had the bearing of a man who carried authority the way the very old carried age, not as a display, but as something that had simply grown into him. Lady Ismeria turned from the window and said, with the warm certainty of someone who has no need to be formal with the people they love, Alvaric, you are late. He crossed the room and bent to kiss her forehead. I know, he said. I had correspondence. You always have correspondence. She patted his hand. Sit. Avenora was reading. He sat in the chair near the fire, not the seat beside Lady Ismeria, which was Avenora's, but a slightly farther one, the chair of a visitor who intended to stay. He looked at Avenora in the way she was beginning to recognize, that plain, even gaze that did not assess so much as observe. Please continue, he said. Avanora hesitated for one breath, then found her place in the page and continued reading. She was three pages into a verse narrative about an old sea journey when Lady Ismeria fell asleep, gently and completely, the way she sometimes did, as if sleep had simply arrived and gathered her, and Avanora set the book quietly aside. The room was still. Alvaric said, without moving from his chair, "I owe you an apology." Avanora looked at him. "I do not believe so." "What Valoria said in this room was said under my roof," he said. "She was a guest here. What guests do in this house is my responsibility." "You were not present," Avanora said. "That is not a defense." He looked at her steadily. "It was reported to me, and I am sorry for it. No one in Stormvale Keep should be made to feel worthless, least of all by someone I gave shelter to." Avanora was quiet for a moment. She did not know what to do with an apology from someone powerful. She had received apologies before, from people who meant them as performances, delivered with an eye on how the receiving of them would reflect on the apologizer. This did not feel like that. "She will not be invited back to these rooms," Alvaric said. "That has already been handled. You did not need to do that," Avanora said. "I disagreed," he said simply. She looked down at the closed book in her lap. Outside, the pale winter sun pressed through the tall windows and laid itself across the floor in long rectangles of weak gold. "Thank you," she said. The words were quieter than she intended. "You don't need to thank me," he said. "It was simply right." He stayed another half hour, until Lady Ismeria woke and asked for her midday tea, and then he excused himself with a word to his aunt and a brief, unreadable look at Avanora that she did not know how to interpret, and filed away in the part of her mind she was trying to keep orderly. She did not think about it. She thought about it constantly. 3 mornings after that, she found sturdy leather boots outside her door. They were plain but well made, lined with soft wool, and they were precisely her size, which should have been impossible, because no one had asked her size, and she had given no thought to anyone noticing her worn shoes in the receiving hall. She stared at them for a long moment. She picked them up and held them in her arms, and stood in the doorway of her small room in the herb garden light, and felt something move through her chest that she did not have a clean name for. Then, 5 days later, a cloak appeared, gray wool, good weight, no ornament, no note. And then Lady Ismeria's fire began burning higher in the afternoons, tended more often, the wood stack replaced before it could run low. Avanora asked Alindra about it over morning tea in the kitchen. Alindra poured her a cup and said, with the quiet care of someone declining to explain something that was better understood slowly, "His Grace sees more than he says." Avanora looked at her cup. She thought about that for a very long time. One afternoon in the gallery, she passed Alvaric coming from the council wing. He was walking with purpose, a fold of papers under his arm. She stepped to the side and curtsied. He stopped. "How is she today?" he asked, and she knew without clarification that he meant Lady Ismeria. "A good morning," Avanora said. She remembered the name of your father's horse. Something moved briefly across his face, a quiet warmth, unguarded. "She always remembers the horse," he said. "She never remembers half the names at court, but she remembers the horse. It was a fine horse," she says. "It was," he agreed. There was a pause, not uncomfortable, but considered. "And you, are you settled?" The question landed with unexpected weight, because no one had asked her that, not since the keep. "Not since before the keep." "Yes," she said, "I am." He nodded once and walked on. She stood in the gallery a moment longer, the faint echo of his footsteps already gone, and she pressed her thumb to her wrist once, not for steadiness this time, but out of sheer habit, and then removed it. She realized she had not needed it. That night she sat in her room with the gray wool cloak across her knees and the new boots beside the bed, and she said nothing aloud and thought a great deal, and what she thought was this. Someone had seen her, not her dress, not her poverty, not her usefulness, or her silence, or what she might represent, if positioned correctly in someone else's design. Her. She pressed her hands flat on her knees, and held that thought, like something fragile and new, the way you held something alive that you were afraid to startle. She did not know what to do with it yet, but she kept it. It was Lady Ismeria who arranged it, which was either brilliant or accidental, depending on which version of her mind was operating that afternoon. She had a very good day, the best in some time. She knew the date, the year, the names of everyone in the room, and the precise sequence of events that had led to the renovation of the West Tower 7 years prior, which she narrated in careful detail while Avanora helped her into her good dress, the dark green one with the ivory trim. "I want to eat downstairs tonight," Lady Ismeria announced. Alindra looked uncertain. The formal dining room was large and cold, and had not been opened for a small supper in months. "The private dining room," Lady Ismeria clarified. "Near the east hearth. That is perfectly manageable." Alindra sent word to Maelor. Maelor sent word to Alvaric. The private dining room was made ready. Avanora helped Lady Ismeria downstairs at 6:30, and when they reached the dining room, Alvaric was already there, standing near the fire, a glass of water in hand, looking at a small painting on the wall that Avanora could not see from the doorway. He turned when they entered. Lady Ismeria sat at her usual end of the table, in the chair that had been hers since before Alvaric was born, and when Avanora turned to leave, because this was a family dinner, and she was the companion, and the place of the companion was outside, Lady Ismeria said, quite firmly, "Sit down, Avanora." "My lady, I sit," Lady Ismeria said. "I do not eat properly if you are not in the room. Alindra knows this. Alvaric, tell her to sit." Alvaric looked at Avanora. There was something in his expression, not amusement exactly, but the barest light of it. "Please sit," he said. "She will refuse the soup otherwise, and then I will hear about it." Avanora sat. She chose the far end of the table, which put two chairs between herself and Alvaric. He moved the candle arrangement slightly, so that the light fell more evenly and less into her eyes, which she noticed and did not comment on. The dinner was simple: roasted root vegetables, braised meat, warm bread, a small pot of herbed butter. Lady Ismeria ate well and spoke freely about everything she remembered, which was considerable. She spoke about the painting on the far wall, which was a landscape of the lower valley done by a cousin who had died young. She spoke about the summer festivals of 30 years past, when the outer packs came to Stormvale Keep, and the courtyard was full of bonfires and music until morning. She spoke about Alvaric's mother, Kayloria, who had been the most beautiful woman in the Northern Territories and the most stubborn, and who had once argued with 3 council members simultaneously and won all 3 arguments before the soup course was done. Avanora listened with her full attention, which was the most important thing she could offer anyone at that table, and she knew it. Once, when Lady Ismeria was describing the bonfires, and her eyes went briefly distant with the pleasure of the memory, Alvaric looked across the table at Avanora, not asking anything, not saying anything, just looking, the way he had been looking since the receiving hall, with that steady, dark-eyed attention that did not press and did not retreat. She met his gaze for 3 seconds, then looked at her plate, then looked back up, because looking away had never been her first choice, and she was not going to start making it one now. His mouth moved, not quite a smile, but close. Then Lady Ismeria returned from her memory and asked Alvaric whether he had finally finished the East Wing correspondence, and he turned to answer her. After the plates were cleared, Lady Ismeria grew drowsy, full and warm, and pleasantly tired, the way the very old became when a good evening had done its work. Alvaric moved to her side to help her up, and she took his arm with the ease of long habit, and the two of them moved slowly toward the door. At the threshold, Lady Ismeria turned and looked back at Avanora, still sitting at the table. "You are good company," Lady Ismeria said. The clarity in her face was startling, total, as if something had lifted. "He needs more of it." Then she turned and walked out. Avanora sat very still. Alvaric appeared in the doorway again a moment later. "I've asked Aurelise to help her upstairs," he said. "Would you remain for a moment?" She remained. He came back to the table and poured 2 small glasses of water from the pitcher and set one in front of her, with the simple practicality of someone who has decided that ceremony is not worth the energy it costs, and sat. "I remember the morning you arrived," he said. "Avanora was very still. The rain on the courtyard," he said. "You had walked from somewhere. Your shoes were wet inside. Not just the soles. You had been walking in real rain, not light rain." She looked at him. "You noticed the shoes." "I notice most things," he said. "It has not always been convenient." He looked at the water in his glass for a moment. "You counted the wolf emblems above the fire. I watched you do it. 7 of them, twice." She felt heat rise in her face. Not embarrassment, exactly. More the particular vulnerability of a private habit made visible. "It helps me stay steady," she said. "When there is something I cannot change." "You could not change the dress," he said, not unkindly, plainly. "No. Or the shoes, or the hair, or the letter from a dead woman, which was the only credential you had." She looked at him. There was no pity in his face. There was something else. Recognition, perhaps. The acknowledgement of a real thing. "I have spent the last several years being unseen," she said. The words came out quieter than she intended, and she did not take them back. "After my father died, I was unwanted by people who were obligated to take me in. I became very skilled at not occupying space. I thought it was safer. Invisible things cannot be dismissed. But they can be cold," he said, "and hungry," and walked past. "Yes," she said. "That too." He was quiet for a moment. The fire snapped beside them. Outside, the wind moved against the walls of the keep. "You were not invisible," he said finally. "You were in a room full of people who chose not to look." He paused. "There is a difference." She did not trust herself to answer immediately, so she lifted her water glass and drank, and set it down, and looked at the flame. "Why do you spend so much time alone?" she asked then, because the evening had somehow created the kind of room where asking things was possible. "Lady Ismeria says, the keep grows cold without someone kind at its center." She was speaking generally. "But I think she meant me," he said, with a dry evenness that was almost humor. "Yes." He was quiet. He turned his water glass in his hands. "Governing a large territory it asks a specific kind of attention that does not leave much room for the rest of a life. I knew that when I took the role. I did not expect to mind it. And now, he said. And then he stopped. And the silence held something in it that he did not fill with words, but which she could feel from across the table, like warmth from a fire you had not yet moved close enough to. He rose then. He said that Lady Ismeria's rooms would need tending, and thanked her for the evening, and walked her to the foot of the east stairs, and bid her good night in the hallway at the bottom of them. And Avanora walked up to her room, with her hand trailing along the stone railing, and her heart doing something irregular and persistent in her chest that she did not have precise language for. She sat on her bed for a long time without lighting the candle. She did not count anything. She simply sat with the feeling and let it exist. 3 weeks passed. They were the warmest 3 weeks Avanora could remember, which was not something she had expected to find in a stone keep in deep winter. But warmth, she was learning, did not require a particular kind of room. It required a particular kind of company, and Stormvale Keep had begun to contain that in unexpected quantities. Alvaric came to Lady Ismeria's rooms nearly every afternoon. He brought his reading, or he did not bring anything, and simply sat in the chair near the fire, long legs stretched toward the warmth, his expression loose in a way she suspected he did not wear it elsewhere. He read aloud sometimes when Avanora was occupied with mending, and she listened to the shape of his voice, how it changed with the text, softer in the poetic passages, wry in the political ones, uncertain in the moments when the prose hit something true that he had not expected. She watched his hands when he turned pages. She watched the way his attention moved. She watched how he handled Lady Ismeria's confusion, with patience so natural it was not patience at all. Just presence, just the willingness to follow wherever the old woman went and wait there with her until she found her way back. She had started to understand why he was alone. He was alone because he was too real for the kind of company that came looking for him. The Valorias of the world came looking for his power, his name, his territory, the title of Luna. They brought polished smiles and arranged beauty, and carefully researched opinions on the topics they believed he cared about. They offered him the surface of a thing. He was not a man who wanted the surface. She was turning this over in her mind on a Tuesday morning, sitting by the window while Lady Ismeria slept in her chair and Aurelisse replaced the candles in the sconces, when Alindra appeared in the doorway with the expression of someone who had unpleasant news and intended to deliver it correctly. "There is a woman downstairs," Alindra said, "a Maravin Holomir. She says she is your aunt." The name landed like cold water. Maravin Holomir was not, technically, an aunt. She was the wife of a distant cousin of Avanora's father, connected by marriage and geography rather than blood, and her care for Avanora in the 18 months since Edric Holomir's death had been precisely as warm as the arrangement suggested. She had given Avanora a room, a bed, and 3 meals a day for as long as she was useful and not too much trouble, and she had watched Avanora leave for Stormvale Keep with the expression of someone watching a minor problem resolve itself. The fact that she had traveled from Holomir in winter meant she wanted something. Avanora asked Aurelisse to sit with Lady Ismeria and went downstairs. Maravin was in the small receiving room off the East Hall. She wore a good traveling cloak, grey and well-made, and she had arranged herself in her chair the way she arranged herself in every room, as the most important person in it, regardless of evidence. She was not unkind, exactly. She was the variety of person who did what was convenient, and called it virtue. She looked at Avanora when she entered and said, "You look well." "Thank you," Avanora said. "It is good to see you." This was the required exchange. They moved past it. "I have come about your future," Maravin said. "There is a proposal I want to discuss with you." Avanora sat down. She folded her hands in her lap. She waited. "Thalric Grimward," Maravin said. "An elder of the Grimward Pack, Eastern Branch. He is a widower. Established household, 12 acres, good standing. He has expressed interest in a quiet wife to manage the home and keep him comfortable." She paused, organizing her next sentence. "He is willing to consider you." The phrasing was exact. Willing to consider her, as if she were a parcel that required a buyer. "How old is he?" Avanora asked. Maravin's expression shifted in the way it shifted when she was choosing between honesty and usefulness. "He is of mature years, well established, as I said." "How old?" 58. Avanora was 23. She did not say anything immediately. She looked at the window. Outside, the herb garden was frost-covered and skeletal. "You have a position here," Maravin said, with the tone of someone acknowledging a minor point before defeating it. "But a position is not a future. You are a companion, Avanora. Lady Ismeria is elderly. When she passes, what do you have? Another application letter? Another faded dress and a rainy road?" Avanora looked at her. "Thalric Grimward is not a handsome prospect," Maravin continued, as if this were a concession. "But he is a real one. You will have a home, security, a household that is yours to run. That is more than most girls with no money and no family name manage to find." "I have a family name," Avanora said. "Holomir is a village with a broken well and one market day," Maravin said, not unkindly. "It is not a name that opens doors." The door behind Avanora opened. She turned. Alvaric Stormvale stood in the doorway. He had come to find her for some reason she would learn later. Lady Ismeria had woken asking for her, and had arrived instead at this. He stood still. He looked at Maravin. He looked at Avanora. He said nothing. Maravin's eyes moved to him and changed. She straightened. Avanora turned back to her aunt. "I understand why you've come," Avanora said. Her voice was quiet. It was steady. It was hers. "I know you believe this is the best thing for me. I know you have traveled here with good intention." She breathed in. "But I will not go." Maravin blinked. "Avanora, I will not marry Thalric Grimward," Avanora said. "I will not leave Lady Ismeria. I will not leave. She paused, and something shifted in her voice, quieter and truer. A place where I am of use, and where I am treated well. To go and manage the comfort of a man who has looked at me as a convenience before I have even spoken a word. Her hands were in her lap. She could feel them shaking slightly, the fine tremor that came not from weakness, but from the particular energy of saying true things in situations that had always required silence. She did not hold them down. "You have no other prospects," Maravin said. Her voice had taken on an edge now. "No money, no connections, no beauty that is extraordinary enough to compensate. What exactly are you waiting for? Do you imagine someone here will look at a girl in a faded dress and think?" "Yes," Alvaric said. It was one word. The room did not move after it. But it changed. The way a room changed when a window opened and outside air came through. Maravin looked at him. He looked at her with the particular evenness of a man who had said everything he intended to say and found the single word sufficient. Avanora turned and looked at him too. His face was calm. His eyes were on Maravin, not on her, and she was grateful for that, because she needed a moment. Maravin stood. She collected her cloak, and her expression, and what remained of her strategy. "I see," she said. She looked at Avanora. "You always were your father's daughter, stubborn and certain and entirely impractical." A pause. "I hope it serves you better than it served him." She left. The room was quiet. Avanora's hands were still in her lap. They were still shaking slightly. She breathed in through her nose and out through her mouth and looked at the window with the frost-covered garden beyond it. Alvaric came and stood near the chair across from her. He did not sit. He simply stood close enough that she was not alone in the room. "You were afraid," he said. "Yes," she said. "But you said it." "Yes, that is the only kind of courage there is," he said. "The kind that sounds afraid." She looked up at him. He was looking at her with that steady, dark-eyed attention that she had been carrying with her in the back of her mind for weeks. The gaze that did not diminish, or calculate, or demand. The gaze that simply saw. Her eyes stung. She did not let them fill. "Your aunt is wrong," he said, about almost everything she said. Avanora did not answer. She pressed her lips together and looked at the floor, and then back up, because the floor had nothing useful to offer. "Come," he said gently. "Lady Ismeria is asking for you." They walked upstairs in silence. At the door of Lady Ismeria's sitting room, he paused, and Avanora opened the door and stepped inside. As she crossed the room to the old woman's chair, Lady Ismeria reached up without looking and patted her hand with the confidence of someone who has always known where things belong. She did not let go right away. Behind her, Avanora heard the soft sound of Alvaric settling into the chair near the fire. The room was warm. Lady Ismeria said, with one of her sudden flashes of perfect clarity, "He watches you the way his father watched his mother." Then she closed her eyes and was quiet. Avanora sat beside her and held her hand and looked at the frost on the window, slowly thawing in the afternoon light, the cold edges going transparent and thin. She did not look at Alvaric, but she felt him there. 3 evenings after Maravin's visit, Alvaric asked Avanora to walk with him. He came to the door of Lady Ismeria's sitting room just after Lady Ismeria had been settled for the night, her tea taken, her shawl adjusted, her eyes already drifting toward sleep. He stood in the doorway and said, simply, "Walk with me." Avanora set down the blue verse book and followed. He led her not to the main gallery or the courtyard or any of the formal spaces of the keep, but to the long upper gallery on the east side, the old one, with the narrow windows and the silver wolf banners that had gone almost colorless with age, and the portraits that she had walked past every day since arriving. He carried one lantern. The moonlight came in through the narrow windows in cold, brilliant bars and lay across the floor like something placed there with intention. He stopped in the middle of the gallery, near the portrait of his father, a broad, dark-haired man who had been painted with the quiet solidity of someone who knew his own weight. Alvaric looked at it for a moment, and his face had the stillness of someone standing very close to something true. Then he turned and looked at Avanora. "I had decided," he said, "some years ago, that I would not take Aluna." She waited. "Not because the law forbade it. Not because I lacked options. There have always been options." He said this without vanity, only precision. "But because every option I was presented with was a negotiation dressed as a person, a family's ambition, wearing a silk gown and calling it a future." He paused. "I decided that duty was a cleaner life than disappointment, and I got very good at believing that."
"Then you stopped believing it," she said. "Then you arrived," he said. The gallery was very quiet. The lantern flame did not move. Outside the narrow windows, the Stormvale forest was dark and silver and still. "I watched you count the wolf emblems above the fire," he said. "I watched you count them twice. I did not know who you were or why you were there or where you had come from. I only knew that you were standing in a room that had made itself cruel to you, and you were counting stone wolves to stay steady, and you looked up and met my eyes without performing, without calculating, without looking away." His jaw moved slightly. "I left because I did not know what to do with that yet." She was very still. "I tried," he said, "to return to the life I had arranged for myself. I sent the boots, because your shoes were wet, and I told myself it was simply what a decent man did for a woman under his roof in winter. I sent the cloak, because the nights were cold and you were not complaining, and I told myself the same thing. I came to visit Ismeria more often than I had in months, and sat near a fire while you read aloud, and I told myself it was for her." "It was for her," Avanora said. "It was also for you," he said. "It was for me." The words were plain, without apology. "I have been very careful with myself for a very long time, and you have made that careful arrangement entirely unworkable, and I have decided I no longer want to work at it." Avanora looked at him. The moonlight lay across the gallery floor between them. She thought of the road to Stormvale Keep, muddy and cold and 4 miles longer than it should have been. She thought of Valoria's soft, pointed laughter. She thought of Maravin's voice. No money, no name, no extraordinary beauty. She thought of her father's study, small and warm, and full of books he had loved, and the way everything had gone wrong so quietly after he died. The way loss had a way of being gradual, until it was suddenly total. She thought of the 7 wolf emblems above the fire, and the boots outside her door, and the grey cloak she had held like something alive. She thought of Lady Ismeria's thin hand on hers. She thought of a halting piano in the dark below her floor. She thought of 3 seconds in a receiving hall when someone had looked at her as if she were real. "I need to say something first," she said. He waited. "If I say yes," she said, "it is not because you are Alpha King. It is not because of this keep, or the security of it, or the name I would carry, or any part of the life that comes attached to yours by power." She breathed. "It is because of the boots, which you sent without a note, so I would have no obligation to feel indebted. It is because of how you carried Lady Ismeria upstairs when she was tired, and she never had to ask, and you never made a ceremony of it. It is because you stood in a doorway 3 evenings ago and said one word and made it sufficient. It is because you saw me before I had anything to offer you, and you went on seeing me, and you never once made me feel owned by your kindness." He was looking at her with an expression she had not seen on him before. Open, unguarded, the careful arrangement of his face entirely dissolved. "I know," he said. "Then yes," she said. He crossed the space between them in 2 steps, and he took both her hands in his. His hands were warm, larger than hers, and very steady, and he looked at her upturned face in the moonlight for a long moment without speaking. Then he turned her left hand gently and looked at her wrist, the faint mark she pressed her thumb into when she needed steadying. He lifted her hand and rested his forehead against her knuckles. Not a kiss, something older than a kiss. A bow, almost. A recognition. As if he was honoring the weight of every silence she had survived to arrive in this gallery on this night. She closed her eyes. When she opened them, he was looking at her again. He reached up and tucked a strand of loosened hair behind her ear. The hair that was always coming loose, that she had stopped fighting, with a gentleness so complete it rearranged something in her chest permanently. She turned her face slightly into his palm, just slightly, just for a breath. He made a low sound, barely audible, like something held very long, finally released. They stood like that, in the moonlit gallery, the wolf portraits watching, the silver banners barely moving in the air from the narrow windows, and the warmth between their hands was not the warmth of fire, or wool, or winter rooms. It was the warmth of two people who had recognized something in each other that neither of them had expected to find, and had been careful with it, and were still being careful with it, and found that this particular carefulness was the truest form of desire either of them had ever encountered. He pressed her hand between both of his and held it. She let him. The ceremony was in the great hall, 3 weeks later, on a morning when the snow had decided to behave and was falling in soft, unhurried flakes outside the tall windows. Avonora wore deep green wool with silver embroidery along the collar and cuffs, not the pale silk of noble families, not the ornate layering of royal ceremony, but something real and well-made and built to last, chosen because she had wanted to look like herself on this day, rather than the occasion's idea of her. The faded gray-blue dress was folded in the wooden chest in her room. She had not thrown it away. She would not throw it away. It had carried her through 4 miles of rain and cold mud, and a receiving hall full of cruelty, to the moment that had changed everything, and it had done that faithfully and without complaint, and that deserved to be honored. Lady Ismeria attended, seated near the front in her gray shawl, her white hair pinned under lace, her pale eyes bright with the particular happiness of someone who feels that the world has ordered itself correctly. She called Avonora by the wrong name twice, and did not seem troubled by this. She held Aurelise's hand and smiled. Alindra Thornvale stood at the back of the hall with red eyes and a lifted chin, and the expression of someone who had cried and was prepared to deny it if asked. Maelor Ironshade stood beside her, with his small brown book, and the look of a man who had witnessed a great many things, and found this one among the worthwhile. Alvaric stood at the front of the hall in dark grey and silver, with his hands clasped behind his back, and his face carrying the careful composure of a man who was holding a very large amount of feeling in a very contained space, and who was managing it better than Avonora might have expected, except that she had already learned he managed things better than she expected, regularly and without needing credit for it. When Avonora walked into the hall, he looked up. She met his eyes across the space between them, the long dark eyes that had found her in a receiving hall when she was cold and hungry and damp and counting stones to stay steady, and she walked toward him because that was the only direction worth walking. He watched her the entire way. He did not look at the hall, at the assembled faces, at the wolf banners on the walls, at any of it. He looked at her. She came to stand before him. He said, quietly, for her alone, "You're here."
"I'm here,"
she said. He took her hand the way he had taken it in the gallery, with both of his, with the stillness and the warmth of someone who had thought for a very long time about what things deserved care, and had decided that this was among the highest of them. Outside, the snow continued to fall softly over Stormvale Keep. The great hall was warm. Months later, in the sitting room that had been Lady Ismeria's, now sunlit and warm and full of the small accumulations of a shared life, Avonora sat by the window, with the blue verse book open in her lap. Alveric sat in the chair near the fire, reading something governmental and frowning slightly at it, with the focused expression she had come to love. Outside, the spring was beginning. The herb garden below was green again. The raven that lived in the east tower called once, then went quiet. Avonora looked at the 7 wolf emblems above the mantel. She did not count them. She turned a page. Alveric looked up from his letter and looked at her across the warm room, and she felt it, that gaze, steady and unhurried, the gaze that had found her in a faded dress in a cold receiving hall and had never entirely looked elsewhere. She looked back. Neither of them said anything. Neither of them needed to.